First Corinthians chapter 12. I want to look at the subject of faith tonight. First Corinthians chapter 12, this is in the middle of the unity of the church, so the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the members of the church. Some of those are revelatory gifts for the revelation of the Word of God. Obviously, those revelatory gifts have ceased because we have the revelation of the Word of God to us, right? Some of those are sign gifts, and one of these days I'm going to go into our view of sign gifts and why we hold to that view. And the other are practical gifts to the church that I believe are available to us today. And I believe the spirit of all the gifts besides the sign gifts are available for us to enjoy, not in the office. Obviously, prophet, it was an office that has ceased in foretelling the future, but in the foretelling of the Word of God, you have prophets today that speak the Word of God. A preacher should speak the Word of God, right? A minister should minister or serve the body of Christ with the Word of God. In Romans 12, 8 through 11, we read, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So we understand that it is the Spirit that gives the individual this gift, and the purpose of the gift that is given is to unite people, not to puff people up in pride. Again, may I remind you, this comes in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where great hindrance was done to the name of Christ because of the factions that were found in the church there at Corinth. The rich serving the rich, feeding the rich, and getting drunk in the service while the poor were going hungry. All of this is showing to us that this church was into self-promotion instead of Christ promotion. And may we never be in the business of promoting self. May we always be in the business of promoting Christ. And the way that we promote Christ, one of the ways that we promote Christ, is by living a life of faith. Living a life of faith is very important to the health of the church. And there are some people within the church. Every Christian should live the life of faith. But there are some people within the church that God has gifted for the special use of having the grace of faith. Okay? However, I believe that all of us, and that's hard to, let me stop. That's hard to know, and that's hard to discern. Okay, so I'll let the Holy Spirit. If the church is healthy and just reading the Word of God and then following the direction of the Holy Spirit, now, following the direction of the Holy Spirit in everyday life, okay? When God saved us, He didn't just save our spirits. He saved us totally, okay? He saved us spirit, soul, and body. All right, now the reality of this body that we live in hasn't received the fullness of the reality of what we have in Christ yet. All right, but our spirit has been made alive with new life from Christ, and that just doesn't affect our desire in some areas, it should affect our desire in all areas of responsibility. Okay. Some people are made to like certain things. All right? Your pastor is made to have, and this is identified to me, both by my wife and me, praying through things, looking at our strengths and weaknesses. This is the by the way. When you're married, work through each other's strengths and weaknesses. Okay? That's important to know what your strengths is, what her strengths are, and what your weaknesses are, and what his or her weaknesses are. And as you work through that, you'll identify that Pastor James has a very giving spirit, right? And giving needs to affect all areas of my life. I can't give, how did my dad used to put it? You can't rob Peter to pay Paul. That's how he used to put it. Okay? You can't do for one and have something else that's under your responsibility suffer because you're doing for one. Does everybody understand that concept? So therefore, my wife works together with me to make sure that my giving spirit doesn't put us in a situation where I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. Right? That's what I'm not putting myself. Anybody that's been married long enough understands that you have strengths and weaknesses, and your spouse has strengths and weaknesses, and you're to work together. Everybody understands that. Well, the same with spirituality. You can't have one area of your life that you're very spiritual in and neglect other areas of your life. You can't rob Peter to pay Paul. I can't be so busy in service, so busy in ministry, so busy as a pastor that I rob my time, personal time with God. However, I cannot let my personal time with God rob the duties that I'm supposed to do as the pastor. Right? So what am I saying here? When we are living a life that is filled with the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law. Why? Because He leads us in that direction. So when we are working to follow the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry if I stop because I heard a phone and I just realized my phone's in my pocket, but hey, excuse us. When we do that, listen, this is very important. This is a very important thing that I'm trying to balance in my own life. And I hope that every Christian is trying to balance. Everything about our lives should be spiritual. The taking care of my family financially is spiritual. Does everybody understand? My wife teaching our girls and making sure we have healthy, good food, that's spiritual for her. And everything is to work in order as a body. And if there's one part of your body that works harder than the other part of your body, what's going to happen? How many of you have ever hurt a leg, right? You've hurt your knee and you're walking too much on that one knee. What happens to your other knee? It begins to hurt, right? So we need a balance because everything that we do is to be honoring and glorifying to God. We cannot neglect what God has commanded us to do for His glory. And the only way we can do that and live that type of life is through a life of faith. Faith in the direction of the Holy Spirit, not through this spooky thing and voices that you hear, but through the Word of God connecting to your new life that is found in salvation and being directed through the Word of God and how to apply it to your everyday responsibilities. So our homework that Pastor Unger is, we're supposed to love, we're supposed to be thankful, and we're supposed to live in peace. Right? That's the homework. And when will the homework end? Well, when you go to heaven, that's when the homework will end. It's an everyday, moment-by-moment decision that we have to make. Now, faith, as a technical term, indicates that of the means of appropriating what God in Christ has for man, resulting in the transformation of man's character and way of life. Such can be termed gospel or Christian faith to mark various predominant traits of Christian character as arising from and combined with Christian faith. Now, some people are very gifted in their ability in the body of the church, local assembly. They're very gifted with a grace. And this is something that also is very important. In noticing people's gifts, we should not uplift the person. We should uplift the God that gave that person the gift. Okay? So when we go to saints of old and we read about them, like the one, George Mueller, was able not to ask for a dime but prayed in money on a weekly basis to feed thousands of orphans, right? That was something that George Mueller didn't produce. That was something that God gifted him with. And he had an in-tune spirit with the direction of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm trying to get us to see. If we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, he will direct us in what we should do. Okay? So you don't have to sit out and you don't have to take personality tests to see what gift applies to you. It has nothing to do with your personality. It has everything to do with the grace that God gives you. So the direct giver of this faith is the Holy Spirit. This isn't a personality quality or a self-confidence issue. No, it is rather something directly given by the direction of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm thinking of, and I can't remember what book book Paul wrote this in, which one of his epistles, but the comparing of oneself to another destroys a church. We shouldn't be comparing in any way ourselves to other people. I shouldn't be sitting there saying I'm so much more spiritual than them. And you shouldn't be sitting there on the opposite end. I shouldn't be sitting there saying, oh my goodness, he's so much spiritual, more spiritual than me. No, that's not how a church is to work. We're to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as we read and study God's word. And then he empowers us through his word to do our everyday tasks and responsibilities. The most important point to realize about this fact of faith is that it is a gift given by the Spirit. Faith doesn't go outside of God's direction, but has total confidence in God's ability and also a God-given confidence in going forward for the Lord despite any circumstance you find yourself in. Faith is not a declaring ministry where we declare to God what he has to do in our lives. Grace, and remember, John teaches us in chapters 14, 15, and 16 that the main job of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is to uplift who? Uplift Christ. I like how one pastor says it. Christ is our mediator for the Father. The Holy Spirit is to allow us to come before the Father and see what the Father has, his great love for us in his throne room of grace. The Holy Spirit is Christ's advocate to us to help us understand what we've received in Christ through the new birth. So the Holy Spirit always uplifts who? Always uplifts Christ. He never uplifts you. He always uplifts Christ. So faith isn't about uplifting my agenda and getting God to follow my agenda like I'm some type of little God. No, it's rather enabling me to follow through humility and faith God's will for my life so that he may be glorified as I am decreased, shall we say? Yeah, remember John said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's not what's popular in Christian teaching today, right? But what's popular in Christian teaching is bringing God down to our level so we can manipulate God so we can increase. Do everybody see how that's not faith? That's foolishness. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Wow. Second Corinthians chapter 4. After describing the importance of the message of the gospel not being corrupted by man-made methods, Paul begins to describe himself as an earthen vessel with an heavenly destination in verses 7 through 18. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18 tells us this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest to our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says we have a treasure in this earthen body, and that is the reality of the gospel in our spirit. Our new spirit given by the new birth of salvation. So let's compare and contrast our eternal body's treasure and our eternal body's frame. All right? So first of all, earthly body's frame. We are troubled on every side. So in this body, we are troubled on every side. Figuratively to oppressed with evil affliction and distresses. In life, we are going to be afflicted with the results of sin. And how do we find that affliction in our lives as Christians? Well, through the unholy Trinity. The devil, our flesh, and the conformity of this world being pushed at us on every turn. So, by faith, we understand that the frame of our body is going... Does everybody understand what I mean by frame? What I am physically is going to be oppressed on every side. Everywhere you turn is going to tell you, in your body's frame, not to believe in God. That's why it's impossible to please God through the means of the flesh. We must not trust our flesh. We must, by faith, trust the treasure of faith in this body. Okay, so what's the treasure of faith? So we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, constrained, reserved, be unable to express oneself. Although I'm troubled, and the frame of my body wants to be accepted in the flesh, it doesn't stop me from proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. Why doesn't it stop me from proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ? Because God has graciously given me new life through faith. So in this body of flesh, I'm going to yield to the oppression that is on every side surrounding me. But as a Christian, I don't have to give in to that pressure because I have a greater treasure that resides in this earthen body. And the treasure is the gospel, good news of Jesus Christ, and how that Jesus gives me sustenance and gives me ability in all spiritual things when I humble myself to his direction instead of pridefully lifting myself up in my flesh's direction. The second thing we see about earthly bodies' frames is we are perplexed. What does perplexed mean? It means to doubt, hesitate, be perplexed, not knowing how to proceed. Determine, speak or act. How many of you have just been perplexed in a situation? You don't know what to do. I'm not the only one that experiences that, right? I'm perplexed. I'm second guessing. I'm full of fear. I'm full of anxiety because, oh, this decision, some of us, when I was younger, my nickname was Eeyore. Because I could find the negative in anything. It's a sunny day, James. Yeah, it's going to rain in a few minutes. I know it. It's a rainy day, James. Yeah, the sun's going to be out. Know, it's going to be so hot because it's raining. All the mosquitoes are going to bite me, and I'll probably catch some kind of disease from the mosquitoes. I'll get malaria. No. That's not how a Christian should live. To see the negative in everything. But sometimes in situations, because we live in this body, we're going to be perplexed. But because, Christian, some of our body frames or how we are just naturally, how we are, our personality is and every that, we're more prone to doubt, to seeing the negative. But we don't have to live that way because we have a treasure in this earthen body. Does everybody understand? So there's decisions that we have to make that if we're trusting in the frame of our earthly body, we're going to be perplexed. We're not going to know what to do. But a Christian knows that though we're perplexed in a situation, we're not in despair. What does despair mean? To be wholly without resource, to despair utterly. Faith in our lives tells us, though this situation we're in is perplexing and we don't know how to figure it out, we don't need to despair because we have a resource, and that's the treasure that is in our earthen bodies. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what Christianity has brought to us, that we don't need to despair, but by faith we can trust in the leading that God will give us through his word and through the direction of the Holy Spirit. So yes, there's going to be situations. If you're the type of person that thinks you can figure out every situation in life, that's not a good thing. How many of you have ever met people that say, I can do anything, and then they start to do it, and you find out they can't do anything. They need help, right? So look, this is very important. We're perplexed. There's things that perplex us, but we don't need to despair as Christians because we have faith. Faith in what God has given to us. Faith in our relationship of what God is to us. We're persecuted. To persecute is to pursue with repeated acts of enmity or enemy-like acts over and over again. But we're not forsaken. We're not left in a lurch. We're not deserted or abandoned. We throughout the Christian life, and even if you're not a Christian, but especially for Christians, should be showing this world love, right? Unconditional, God-given love. Because God first loved us, we can love others, right? Well, do you know what that means sometimes? We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be taken advantage of. And how many of you have ever realized you've been taken advantage of? What's your first feeling? Man, forsaken. I feel, right? Especially if you love somebody and then they leave. You feel forsaken. You feel hurt. But the Christian understands the treasure of this body, that he's never forsaken. Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you. He's with you all the time. And he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Isn't it true, Christian, that though you've been persecuted sometimes by the people you love the most, you have this faith within you that, again, when the hammer hits the nail, this nail, right? There's a reaction that always isn't good sometimes, right? But a Christian, after that reaction, realizes, after the shock of a hurt, realizes he has a balm in Gilead. He has a medicine he can go to that can heal any hurt, that can give joy through any situation, and that can mend any pain or broken relationship. That's your treasure in this earthen body. So faith causes you not to trust in frame of your body, but to trust in the treasure of this earthen body, which is your faith, Christian. Cast down. We used to wrestle and play as boys, and every time we would play, it would usually end up in a fight. I grew up with two brothers, and it would start as playing with each other, and then somebody would be too rough and you'd hurt, and then it was okay. Fist up, you know? And my mom would say, take it outside, boys. I don't want the house to get messed up. So we would, And one of the things that would make me the maddest is when they would come up to you and they would throw you down to the ground, just playing, right? And that would kind of knock the wind out of you. Oh, I used to hate that. Cast down. Have you ever felt cast down? Thrown down to the ground, maybe by word, maybe by action, maybe by a disappointment in life. Cast down. But Christian, you're not destroyed. Because you have Jesus. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus. So this frame should always carry about the body the putting to death of the Lord Jesus, being exposed to the cruelties resembling those which he sustained in his last sufferings. It also means deadness. What is this? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Look, Christian, your frame needs to die. Your desires need to be put to death moment by moment, day by day. It needs to be something that is just so. Bad desires come up in parenting all the time, right? Bad desires come up in marriages all the time. What do I mean by bad desires? I mean not treating your spouse or children how you would treat them if Jesus was standing right next to you. How different would we look if we realized Jesus is with us all the time and he was physically standing right there? Would we yell and scream and throw fits. You say, I'm not that way. I never yell. Yeah, but what about the inside? This body needs put to death, and that only happens through faith. And as we stop yielding to the desires of this body, we see something awesome happen in the treasure of this body. What the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our body. So as the frame of this body and its desire is put to death, the life of God is manifested in this earthly body. What is this speaking of? Life or existence after raising from the dead, only of Christ. In Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 2 Corinthians 4:10 through 12 is one of the most mysterious principles of God's plan. It's shown to us through these scriptures that life is produced through death, or death produces life in the Christian's life. Remember Abraham? God gave him a promise, and in Romans 4:19 it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Faith enables us to see the full effect of the treasure of salvation in us. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and see some wonderful results. So here's Paul in this earthen body, in the frame, and feeling the pain and effects of sin, but realizing by faith there is this awesome treasure that is possessed through the gospel, and that is that Christ is his all, and his power is sufficient to get him through in any situation and to praise the Lord through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for whose sake? For Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So what happened? Sometimes we're praying, God, heal us from this, and there's nothing wrong, but God doesn't do it. Sometimes we're praying, God, take us out of this situation. He allows us to sit in that situation and to feel our frames of the body being perplexed, being persecuted, being cast down, being dying, the dying process in this body. For what reason? So that he can bring others to himself. That's what it's saying here. The Corinthians would have never heard the gospel if Paul didn't die to his flesh. And because he died to his flesh, God was able to bring spiritual life to other people. So God might allow you to go through hardship because somebody's always watching. And Paul, in a real way, was beaten and shipwrecked and stoned and scourged for the purpose of spreading the gospel to a lost and dying world. And what kept him going? His faith. His faith in what Jesus Christ had given him in salvation. How is a Christian to experience this reality? Verse 13 and 14. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. The thought is taken from Psalms 116 verse 10. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Psalms is an amazing collection of powerful Hebrew poems inspired by God and constructed for the purpose of lamenting the wickedness of the fallen man and praising the glory and the goodness of God. And this is in a section that is a messianic psalm speaking of why Jesus Christ is worthy to be the king in the millennial kingdom. Why? Because he trusted his Father and he believed in his word that whatever might happen to him bodily, his Father had a purpose to it. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ had this faith in his Father's will. And what was accomplished because Jesus Christ had faith in his Father's will? My salvation and yours. His faith didn't falter. Even in the moment of his deepest agony, or when men proved how utterly untrustworthy they were, what he said was not born out of distrust, but a deep conviction that his Father had a plan for him. So here Paul is. Through great persecution, through great tribulation, seeing the message of Christ being spread to a lost and dying world, being persecuted on every side, being pressed with the problems that have come into this world because of sin. But yet he had a treasure in this earthen body. The reality of a spirit led Christian life to appropriate what God through Christ has given us. Paul proceeded to give us confidence of his faith, and that is because Christ is raised up from the dead, so we can trust the Father will do same for us through Christ. Here's the results of this kind of faith in 2 Corinthians 14, 15 through 18. First, the glory of God. For all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace, through abundant grace, verse 15 says, for all things are for your sakes, and that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what does faith do in the treasure in this body? It helps us understand that all we do is to be for the glory of God. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. So our faith should produce the product of thanking God, not praising man. Not only that, but our faith gives us internal strength in the middle of outward struggles. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Romans 8:10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. The inner man is renewed and is made new by God through the Spirit, by the humble response of the believers to the leading of the Holy Spirit, not positionally, not in the future sense of our glorification, but in the present sense of our fellowship with Christ right now. Obviously, we know our position can never change. We're in Christ forever. if we're Christians, and obviously know that in the future the very presence of sin will be taken out of our reality forever. God's reality for us forever. But right now in our practice of fellowship with Christ has to be done through his provision, not our own provision. And what this body can provide in and of itself will end up in what? The body, if you be in Christ, the body is death because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. What's your inner man? Well, your inner man is what has been renewed through the precious gift of salvation. It's what's been made new. And who brings that reality to our life? The Holy Spirit by faith and trusting in how he wants us to live our lives. As we read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit gives us peace in the direction of how to apply the Word of God for his glory. So is it ever right for a Christian to be in the middle of the responsibility that God has given to him and to be irritated, to be grumpy? I don't think you have to walk around smiling all your life, okay? That's not what I'm saying here. But all of us know what grumpy looks like. Some of you men say, yeah, I wake her up every morning. No, I'm joking. When we look at this, or when we wake up and we look in the mirror, we got to say, death to grumpy. Right? Life to the Spirit. As Pastor Unger would say, death to Mr. Flesh. Right? Mr. Self. Life to Spirit. Life to the direction of the Holy Spirit. It gives us spirit-filled insight concerning suffering, faith does. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory. By faith, I know that I'm going through this. And if I humble myself through repentance and faith and follow the direction of the Spirit, and I'm in Christ, man, it's working for me a much better eternal reward. And in context, as I die, as Paul's talking about, my death brought your life. My physical death to this body and its desires brought spiritual reality to other people and spiritual life to other people. I would say that's a great reward, right? That God gave us the privilege to work through us to bring people to himself. And finally, faith gives us the spirit-filled ability to have the right perspective. While we look not on things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. Can we see with our physical eyes the treasure of the gospel? With our physical eyes. Can I open up myself and that? Right there. There's that treasure right there. We can't see the wind, according to John chapter 3, but what can we feel? The effects of the wind. You say, Pastor, are you serious? Yeah. Go out tomorrow morning at about 4 o'clock in the morning with no coat on. You'll feel the effects of the wind really quick. Right? Faith unlocks for us the reality of the Spirit-filled life. Faith in the treasure that resides in us through the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. I hope we have some people that are given over to a life of faith. I hope that you pray for me as I pray for you, that Pastor James will live a life that is given over to faith and not to frame. Right? Everybody get the difference? Faith in the treasure of my body instead of self-confidence in the frame of my body. You know, the older you get, the easier it should be not to put trust in frame, right? Just a few thoughts on faith tonight. And I do think that there are some people that, if given over to the Holy Spirit, God would graciously give you through the Spirit the gift of faith. But that's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to die to self so that the Holy Spirit can live through us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. God, I don't know how technical this sermon was tonight, but it was a sermon that I believe you, through your grace, allowed the Holy Spirit to show me some problems in my faith. And God, I repent and I plead for your power, that I might die to self so that you can live your full potential in me and through me. In Jesus' name, amen.